Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Jay are delighted to welcome along Andrew Patterson. Andrew, thanks for coming on again, mate.
No problem, my pleasure.
Well, this is going to be an absolute joy to record, to be perfectly honest. A magnificent 3-0 victory in the Scottish Cup semi-final over Aberdeen. We're into our second domestic final of the season. Jay, it's fair to say that everything that's happening at this club is more than surpassing expectation. Yesterday, a day that will live forever in the memory.
Oh yeah, it was some day, absolutely brilliant. You know, in terms of the 90 minutes, I think it epitomised everything that's good about this team at the moment. You know, the hard work, the determination, the passion, some half-decent football at times, but it was just never really in doubt. I don't remember really any stage of the game thinking that, you know, Aberdeen were really going to, you know, get back into it. I said that even after the game, when we were in the pub afterwards, I said to a couple of people that it wasn't quite as big a buzz as I thought it would be, because you didn't have that added, you know, a last minute winner or a close game. It just, we absolutely sailed it. You know, I made the joke that that must be what it feels like to be an Old Firm fan. You know, you just come away thinking, all right, job done. It was just surreal at times to go into that game as the slight underdogs. I know that some of the pundits had tipped us to win, but I think, you know, in terms of resources, in terms of budgets, and of course league positions and generally how both sides have done this season, we were the underdogs. So to actually turn up and, you know, not grind out a result, but actually hammer them, it was absolutely fantastic. And you're right, when you factor it in the greater context of this season, the things that have happened both on and off the park, including, you know, Friday night's expertly timed news of the four new deals, I just think it was fantastic. It was just one of those days where being a Motherwell fan, you know, just is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, Andy, I don't think there's really much that can be added in the overriding emotion of the occasion. I suppose it was quite similar in many aspects to the quarterfinal, and of the League Cup, where we obviously defeated Aberdeen 3-0 there as well, but two first half goals maybe had to soak up a little bit of pressure. I can't recall many glaring chances for Aberdeen, that's for sure, and then hit them with a fantastic sucker punch for the third goal. Curtis Main driving in goal and putting it away fantastically well, really composed finish considering how big the occasion was. And then we had 20 minutes of basically just playing it out. It was, as JC says, it was plain sailing and very pleasant to experience that at Hampden, knowing that you're just playing the game out, having secured a place in the final.
Yeah, we were having a discussion after the game, and curious as it is that we don't make Scottish Cup finals particularly often, but yet our last two, we've been like 3-0 up with something like a half an hour to go in each of the two of them, which is great. And you go there expecting, fearing perhaps how it might go, expecting a difficult game certainly. So it was just incredible to find ourselves in that position. We did so much well. We were set up really well, organised. I thought we were a wee bit slow actually to start, but we very quickly found our way into the game, and so much credit has to go to all the team. But you think of players in particular, like Curtis Mayer will obviously get the plaudits for his two goals, and rightly so. The finish for the third was just absolutely superb. But you think of the likes of Grimshaw almost kind of coming in from, you know, from nowhere, as he's been asked to do once or twice, and it was fantastic. There was Andy Rose as well, with something like, I think it was about 20 odd minutes or something behind him in Perth coming in, and, you know, critics as he has, he done his job perfectly, and, you know, he was involved in both of the goals, and, you know, indirectly as well. It was just, you know, such a good performance. They were so confident in their own ability and how they'd set up, and there was an assurance there, and exactly as you say, there wasn't a huge amount to deal with from Aberdeen. You think of Stevie May's chance before half-time. That could have been a big swing in momentum had they got something back before the break. And I think Trevor Carson had won as his traditional, you know, worldly save each game in the second half. But that apart, they had nothing. I was so pleasantly surprised. It was quite a different feeling going into the game beforehand, before we left. I was a wee bit apprehensive, in all honesty. The league game last week kind of dented my optimism to a slight degree, but there was the longer the game went on, obviously, they were so sure of themselves, so comfortable, you know, so confident in what they were doing. We did. I mean, you could argue things went for us to a certain extent. I mean, you see, there's a claim for handball for Tate for the first. On another day, that might have got pulled back. You see Ryan Bowman get in again on another day. You know, one referee's view that, you know, he's showing good upper body strength and being strong. Another referee determines that as a foul on the player. And obviously there was the slight break for, you know, the ball for Mayne going through. So, I mean, we did get, you know, a wee bit of run of the green in certain fixtures this season, high profile fixtures we haven't, but the way things were going, you know, we were never going to lose that game, and, you know, such an accomplished performance, and, well, we look forward to the final.
That's it, isn't it, Jay? You think about it, Aberdeen, second force for three or four seasons now, right in the mix for second place again this season, and they were absolutely battered by Motherwell yesterday. The completely dominant performance. Yes, Aberdeen will look back in defensive errors that led to the goals, but they were very much second best. It can't be underestimated just how good a Motherwell performance that was against what is a very good Aberdeen side.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, I think that game yesterday practically epitomises everything we're good at. You know, we might not be the silkiest team. We might not score the greatest goals at times, but unless it's, you know, Garrow McHugh against Hearts. But, you know, what we do have is, you know, just some of the, you know, the passion and the determination, the heart, and just the work effort. I mean, you know, late on at 3-0, you know, guys like Campbell were still running into the ground, chasing the ball, you know, about the park. It was just fantastic to watch. And I think that's what sets us aside from a lot of teams in this league. It is that, you know, when we turn up and we have that desire and that determination, there's no team in Scotland that, you know, finds it easy against us. You know, we've had good results. You know, we could have beaten Celtic if Keeper hadn't been sent off. We could have beaten Rangers if we hadn't had that 15 minutes at the start of the second half. You know, we've given, you know, knocked Hearts out of the cup. We've given Aberdeen a couple of doings now. So, I mean, on our day, we are more than capable. And I think that, you know, yes, we're bottom six, but I think that's possibly more to do with the fact that, you know, we're a young side. So we're a good football team. We've got all the kind of mental attributes that you need to be successful. And I think we're just a little bit inconsistent because we're a young side. And I think that's more to do with it. You know, on our day, we are more than capable of handing out an absolute doing to the likes of Aberdeen, which we have, as has been mentioned, you know, twice in the Cups. And then, of course, you know, the 2-0 win up there at Pittodrie as well in the league. So, yeah, it's fantastic to watch. It's brilliant. And I think that, you know, it kind of just throws, you know, the suggestions that were just, you know, the physical side. You know, we're constantly painted as this kind of team of cloggers. And I think a game like yesterday just completely throws that back in the critics' faces because, yes, we're strong, we're organised, we're hard-working, we get tore in, but we're also capable of scoring goals and, you know, keeping clean sheets. And yesterday, you know, I must have watched the highlights about 50 times already today. Could watch it all day because, you know, even the goals aren't particularly great, although Curtis Main's finish for the third was fantastic. It's just great to see these guys in claret and amber just giving, you know, absolutely everything on the park. I mean, you know, I wanted to mention Grimshaw as well. I know Andy's already mentioned him. I thought Grimshaw was absolutely magnificent yesterday. For a guy who is undoubtedly will have found this season really frustrating because he's struggled to get in the team. He's had his injuries. To put in that level of performance, you know, in a semi-final, having been missing for so long, I thought was absolutely fantastic. But this is just a team that is just so, so good to go and watch. You know, you're so proud to see these guys playing for Motherwell. And it's been a lot, although, you know, our league form in particular hasn't been great. We are bottom six. You know, this is one of those seasons that I think is up there with one of the most enjoyable.
And that shows after the game, doesn't it, Andy? The celebrations, the players joining in with the fans. I saw someone post on Twitter, this was one of the most likeable Motherwell teams. It just feels like there's a real strong bond between supporters and the team. And yes, of course, you're all going to be very pro and very, very upbeat when you're reaching cup finals like we're doing just now. But there is just something about it. And Jay mentioned all the kind of real factors that draw you to this team. There's so many of them, isn't there?
You go back right the way to the summer and Robinson's recruitment policy, and the word character was used time and time again, and that is it in a nutshell for me. You've got players with character, you've got players that understand what this club means because they've been well versed on it, they've been well made aware, well informed of what we're about. They've came, they've bought in. We've got guys, local guys in there, Cadden, Campbell, Chucky as well, you know, players that have come through the system that know what it means. We've got people on the, you know, the coaching staff. We're almost into like four figures worth of games for the club. So again, what this club means to us is well instilled. Even you take the interviews pre-match, you know, Curtis Main seemed well informed about 1991 and everything that stood for at the time and for the area and for the people of Lancashire. There is an understanding there from the players about what the club means to the supporters, and equally there's an appreciation from the supporters that these guys are coming and they're giving their utmost for our club, and it's, you know, their club as well. You know, they're buying into it, they're doing the Well Society, you know, putting in their, you know, their membership monies and chipping in and all the rest of that. So it combines to create, you know, a really special bond that currently, you know, exists, and that's obviously the benefit of both the team and the club, and it certainly makes supporting the team a whole lot easier when you know that these guys are completely on board and completely giving their all each and every game.
I stood and watched Cedric Kipre and Richard Tate pose for pictures and sign autographs back at the club after the game. His players must have spent a good half an hour just outside in the David Cooper stand having the pictures taken. I know they then went to the hospitality suites. They went up the stairs to the Cooper bar as well. Just, again, things that possibly seem quite small, but they make such a difference. It's just great to see these guys out having conversations with the supporters, and what's such a big day. The club absolutely nailed their promotion of yesterday as well. I know there was conversations about only taking 8,000 fans. when you say only, that's twice our season ticket holder base. It's twice our average crowd. It's a fantastic support we took, but the way the club packaged it up yesterday, and that was the first time I'd taken a bus from Fir Park to one of the big games at Hampden, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent the way the club put on entertainment and just packaged it up as a whole day out rather than just the 90 minutes of football. Everything about the club.
If I can just jump in there on that point again, that just epitomises the feeling of togetherness, was the people that were like running the bus were like behind the bars pulling pints and stuff like that. They were organising transport, they were floating about, and I think that just illustrates the togetherness, I spit it out, that we were speaking of a minute ago as well. Sorry for jumping in there.
No, it's quite all right. I'll forgive you, because to be perfectly honest, speaking has been quite a challenge so far today, and it continues to be so. So we move on, and we now know that our opponents in the final will be just as they were in the League Cup final. Celtic again. They absolutely obliterated Rangers today. They've got their sights set in this double treble, which has never been done in Scottish football. It would just be like us, Jay, to go in there and spoil that party.
Well, fingers crossed. You know, regardless of who won today, it was always going to be, you know, a big, big ask when the final comes. We're going to be the underdogs by quite some considerable distance. The media will absolutely write us off. You know, Celtic will write us off. Celtic fans will write us off. We will essentially have lost the cup final before we even turn up on the day. So there's absolutely nothing to lose. And if we go and put in the same sort of performance as we did yesterday, with the same desire and the same character and all the things that we've been talking about, then absolutely, I think, you know, if you're going to go into a final, you know, against a team like Celtic, who are by far, you know, you just need to watch the game today to see how far ahead of the rest of Scottish football they are. If you're going to go into a cup final against that kind of side, who are, as you say, on the verge of creating history by winning a double treble, then it's the character that you need. You know, that's going to be such a massive part of it. Yes, you need to be able to, you know, score goals and play football. But I'm struggling to think of it. I think there's very few teams in Scottish football with the same mentality and the same sort of determination and mindset and character that we have. So I think of all the teams in Scotland, you just had to watch Rangers today, who are apparently, you know, the second best team in the country, absolutely fold against Celtic. So firstly, I'm more than confident that we'll go on the 19th and put up far more of a fight than Rangers did today. But I think, you know, in terms of mindset, in terms of having the character and the belief, and the ability to turn up at Hampden, show them no respect and just get tore in with it, you know, the real belief that we can go and win the cup. I think out of every team in Scotland, we have that character. So if there is one team that has the ability to stop Celtic getting this double treble, then absolutely it can be us. I don't see, when you have a team with the likes of, you know, Alan Campbell, Curtis Main, you know, Tom Aldred, the Kent, Richard Tate, the guys who will run all day, run through brick walls, who will leave absolutely everything on the pitch. That's exactly what you need to do if you want to have any chance of beating Celtic in a cup final. And, you know, I would say we have just as much a chance as anybody else of being able to do that. You know, I think I noticed in Pye and Bovril today, I went through and read the match thread, and there was, you know, other fans of Scottish clubs, you know, delighted that Motherwell had won, because they think that we would put up a far better fight in the final than Aberdeen would. And I think that says it all, because again, Aberdeen are kind of recognised as the second or third best team in Scotland, and yet because we have that character and that mindset, that there's fans all over Scotland that see us as being, you know, a better option than Aberdeen for beating Celtic in the final. So yeah, why not? We've got absolutely nothing to lose. We've got the players there who can score goals, who can cause, you know, trouble for Celtic. We've drawn with them twice already this season. Probably we should definitely have won one of those games, possibly could have won the other. So there's absolutely nothing to fear. And, you know, the countdown now begins, because, you know, the absolutely fantastic output that the media team are now throwing out there, I can't wait to see what we've got in the run-up to the final, because there'll be certainly no sleep happening on that Friday night.
And Andy, for myself personally, it was a bit of a strange one. I didn't watch the Celtic Rangers game today. But to be perfectly honest, I wasn't really that concerned as to who we would play in the final. We did our work yesterday. Yes, of course, Celtic are far superior to Rangers in terms of squad depth, in terms of squad quality, and just given that Brendan Rodgers has a 100% record against Rangers, Celtic are just far superior. But there's no fear factor there. We've come up against Celtic on four occasions this season, and in all occasions bar one, we've given a very good account of ourselves. I think Celtic, on both occasions that they've come to Fir Park this season, will have went away feeling pretty relieved that they managed to actually gain a point. So, for all, it's a massive challenge, and yes, I don't think many people out with the club will give us much of a hope, but I don't see why not. I don't think they're as good a side as they were last season. I certainly think they're a good side, but with all the qualities that we've discussed in depth already on tonight's podcast, why not?
Absolutely. There's also there's still a feeling, despite the fact that we put in two really credible performances against them since the League Cup final. I think for many people there's still a feeling in the background there that there's some unfinished business, that we didn't get a fair crack of the whip, that we never really knew how. We were just getting into the game in the League Cup final when things were kind of taken away from us and, you know, arguably with our control. So there is a kind of feeling, let's see when there's a kind of level playing field almost for a full 90 minutes. Let's see what transpires there. And as you've both, you know, stated correctly, that you're not going there fearful. We're not going there. I think we go there in a different mindset. 2018 is far different from the mindset that we went into the game in 2011 in the Scottish Cup final. And it's one that your appetite's whetted, you're eager, you can't wait for it, as you would be with any other cup final, naturally. But there's no fear factor there. And for all the reasons that you've both already mentioned, that we go there excited, optimistic, and, you know, with a it's not unreasonable to go in there hopeful either.
No, absolutely not. The split fixtures eventually were revealed. I thought they were going to actually take until about Christmas time at one point, because it was just an utter joke, as per usual, in terms of the Scottish footballing authorities managing to surpass themselves in incompetence time and time again. The fixtures start with an away game at Ross County, Jay. Stephen Robinson said after the game yesterday he still believes we need a couple of points just to ensure that we're definitely safe in the league. There'll be a different motivation for these players now, these games that perhaps were seen as by some as dead rubbers are now five occasions where players can stake their claim for a place, and that's starting 11 on the 19th of May.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think, you know, Andy mentions the 2011 Cup final. I mean, the post-split fixtures were a bit of a disaster for us then, because, you know, Stuart McCall just seemed to absolutely, I don't know, just shit-fest the five games with his starting lineups and things like that. And I certainly don't think we'll see that from Stephen Robinson. I think we'll be going into each game with our strongest possible side. And yeah, you're right, it's a fantastic opportunity. Particularly for guys like Liam Grimshaw, it'll be really interesting in particular to see how we line up in Dingwall, because, you know, somebody like Grimshaw would feel, you know, disappointed to you know, be dropped given his level of performance on Saturday. So a guy like Grimshaw, having played such a vital role in that semi-final, will be looking at you know, the next few weeks as trying to get himself into that cup final team. And there's obviously certain players in your team that you know are going to be there anyway, but there's others, you know, there is places up for grabs. So it'll be just interesting to see how we approach them. It would be great to get some points on the board, you know, just keep that momentum going. And see what happens. But you're right, because there's no point in getting into the cup final having lost five post-split fixtures and, you know, had terrible lineups every week like we kind of did in 2011. It's a different mindset we'll be getting to. I fully expect to see, you know, our strongest lineup every week. Okay, when it gets to, you know, the last game of the season, there's one or two players you need to wrap in cotton wool and leave in the stand so they make the final, that's fine. But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how we approach these games. And I don't expect that the level of performance will drop at any, particularly not from this team. You know, we've spent the entire podcast talking about the mentality of this side, and that mentality dictates that, you know, there are five games to be won here, and every player in that squad will be going in to win these games. I don't think the foot will come off the gas at all, and that's exactly the way it should be, because, you know, as fans, you're still paying for your season ticket, you're still paying for your ticket to go along and watch them in these five games. So hopefully we can get the points on the board, preferably early on. You know, let's make sure we're mathematically safe as soon as possible. And yeah, then you can start using the last few remaining games to really prepare for, you know, the 90 minutes at Hampden in May.
Jay mentioned, Andy, that Ryan Bowman, Cedric Kiepre, Richard Tate and Charles Dunn have all put pen to paper new deals with the club. There's still players remaining, in particular Andy Rose, who had a really good afternoon yesterday, as did Tom Aldred, who I think's actually been pretty much superb since he came in. You've also got guys like Stephen Hendry, Nadir Chiefji, Liam Grimshaw, who certainly staked a very strong claim for being offered the new deal yesterday. Guys that the futures are very much in the balance. These guys have got five massive league games ahead for them, don't they, to prove that they're worth a place in Stephen Robinson's squad for next season?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is another factor that's going to come into play in terms of catching the manager's eye and hoping to secure new deals. There's not a huge amount in the squad that you would think, well, I'll be too upset if they were to move on. The Andy Rose one, I understand, is a case of more kind of personal issues rather than a question mark over whether there's a desire to keep him on longer. The two loanees are interesting ones. You wonder how Bury are going to react. I think, believe they get relegated, if not yesterday, certainly recently. So is that a case where they're going to try and, you know, offload some players? And you would like to think, given his performances since he arrived on loan, if there's any opportunity to add Aldwood to the squad, that Robinson would try and do so. And I know there's the question mark about, you've then got additional, you know, over and above the three kind of central defensive places, you've also got Barry Maguire in there as well. But surely if there's an opportunity to sign a player who's come in and done such a fine job, you look to take that. You hope that things go well in the cup final and you're going to have some extra fixtures or two in terms of Europe as well. So that's the kind of addition to the squad that perhaps the additional revenues that we've accrued through this season, you could put that to good use. Nadir Chiefji, I would like to see him stay, to see what he could offer with a full kind of pre-season behind him. That one may well be a more difficult one to negotiate. I don't imagine that his contract is at Celtic Park is going to be anything akin to something that we would be offering him if we'd be willing to kick about at Fir Park. But, you know, he's a player I would, if not chucking a 3-year deal or anything like that, I would quite like to see him, if there's any scope to get him on board for another season. And we have a trio of players there that have served us fairly well. You know, Ryan Bowman obviously has extended his deal. That's a satisfying one. You know, I think it was the Queen's Park game, that it was only really through Moult's lack of fitness at the time where he kind of was given a quick run out, and the way that he kind of started the season, you know, formed a partnership with Moult at the start of the season, is so much to his credit. You know, he didn't have a particularly great spell under Mark McGee last season. Robinson had said he was like some fourth or fifth in his his kind of list of strikers. You know, he saw off the challenge of Alex Fisher, so much so that, you know, he was allowed to move on. So that's a really pleasing one and a good demonstration of why players, you don't necessarily make a snap decision with them, that sometimes they may take a wee while to settle in, they may need a full pre-season with us, it may be a case of getting the partnership right, it may be a case of getting the type of balls and type of style of football that's more to a player's liking, so there's a whole lot of factors there, so that was good to see him signed up as well. Obviously, Charles Dunn has got better and better as the season has progressed. Richard Tate, we know what he's delivered. He's given us a versatility across the season with his performances from the left-hand side as well. So, and I was pleased to see him skipper yesterday as well. I think that was a just reward for his efforts since he's arrived at the club. And as you say, there's a few that have still got to, you know, kind of get things over the line if the club and them are looking to extend their deals, and what better incentive is it to, you know, try and win a place in a cup final squad and hopefully extend your stay further if that's your ambition.
And that's it. It's often said that there's different players need different ways of management. Ryan Bowman's always struck me as a very much a confidence player. He signs a new contract and the day later he's scoring a second goal, with Murdoch going to win 3-0 in a Scottish Cup semi-final. It's hard to think that these two things aren't sort of intrinsically linked, is it, Jay?
I do agree that he's certainly a confidence player. You know, I think over the summer there was maybe doubts about his future at the club there and then. I think, you know, a lot of the chat on social media and on the forums was that, you know, perhaps the writing was on the wall for Bowman. And it really was just that kind of, you know, the injury with Malt being out and things like that really gave, as Andy says, you know, gave Bowman the kind of chance. And he's not really looked back. You know, he's done well. I think it's amazing what can happen when you actually use a player properly. You know, under Mark McGee, Ryan Bowman was some sort of target man to be thrown on and to chuck long balls at. Whereas that's just not his game at all. You know, he's not a fantastic player. He's not the best striker we've ever had, but I think he contributes a lot. And when he is confident and he is, you know, I think he's one of those players that needs to be made to feel as though, you know, he's wanted and he's appreciated in the team. And I think when that's happening, he contributes a lot. And I think it's a lot. It says a lot about his character. Again, I don't need to actually listen back and see how many times the word character has been mentioned tonight. But, you know, the fact that he's always been in the shadow of the, you know, the other striker, if you like. It was, you know, absolutely overshadowed by Louis Moult. He's now, you know, in the shadow of Curtis Main. And yet he gets on with it. He contributes. He was good foil for Moult. He struck up a good partnership with Main. And that's one that I think, you know, I think of the four contracts, everybody will be rightfully delighted that Kypre's signed. I think most folk would be delighted that Dunn's extended his deal. Tate more than deserved a new contract. And I think of the four, maybe Bowman will kind of fly under the radar a wee bit. But I think that's a really good bit of business for the club. You know, when he is confident and he is playing well, then he does offer a lot. And it was great to see him getting the score sheet yesterday, albeit with a bizarrely weak effort.
And Cedric Kypre just seems like a guy absolutely destined for the top. I don't think any of us are under any illusions when it comes to Kypre. You would imagine that signing a new contract would inflate his transfer value, or maybe actually get us somewhere in the region of what we deserve to get after reading some of the nonsense in the newspapers today regarding Trevor Carson. I think the reality is, Andy, that it's very unlikely that we'll have Cedric Kypre for much longer anyway, but certainly him showing that commitment and that desire to stay here and continue to learn is yet another positive one. And Jay, as Jay mentions every 2 seconds tonight, it'll be good for his character.
In some respects, it kind of mirrors the kind of Louis Moult transfer, whereby maybe with the difference that you know Cedric has signed a couple of additional contracts along the way, but I think that would appear to be the case, that he's been rewarded for how he's performed, and you know, it's more a true kind of reflection of the salary that maybe his performances and the level that he's playing at is deserved, rather than the kind of deal that, you know, he maybe signed when he first came to the club. But certainly the most recent extension, as you say, is seems to be a case of protecting our interests, as you know, as much as, you know, giving him a contract to the level he's deserving of. And we're in a really good place at the moment. You know, we kind of come back to it every now and again about the marketing point of the club, about what we can offer a player whenever they come to Motherwell, and you know, this season has been absolutely fantastic, both in terms of the platform that we've given players, the profile, we're reaching the two cup finals, the likes of Lou Moult's transfer, Ben Hennigan's transfer to Championship sides, the, you know, subsequent move that helped Marvin Johnson go to a Championship side, albeit he might well be back at Oxford and Bournemouth, if I remember rightly. But however, you know, the kind of selling point is there. So we're with each kind of further success that we have, you know, we're becoming a more and more attractive destination, which might open up the potential for signings and improving the team further down the line. You have that in turn, you hopefully you're going to get the sell-on value for the investments that you make, you know, likes of Cedric and potentially Trevor Carson, if, you know, a team does come in with an appropriate bid for him. And it goes back into the club. You're solidifying your future, and again, you're hoping to give your manager a bigger budget that you can go and continue the cycle. So it's working well for us at the moment. In terms of Cedric's career, I mean, you just kind of wonder how far he can go. You know, for a player that he's his first full season, you know, it's been, you know, looks as if he's even more kind of a veteran rather than a kind of first full season rookie, and the development that he's made even in the short space of time. And you hear Robinson and Lasley and the coaching staff speak about the potential that he has for improving further. So it's exciting to see how far, you know, he could progress. Clearly, we hope he stays at Fir Park for as long as possible, and you know, we benefit from his, you know, his services. But you know, it's interesting to see where his next move will be, albeit we hope it's maybe a wee well down the line yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead to the game on Saturday, Jay, it'll be a bit of a kind of down to earth with a bump, I suppose, a league match against Ross County after the real high and of reaching the cup final yesterday. The Ross County fighting for their lives down there, as are the majority of the teams, I would imagine, with the exception of ourselves and St Johnstone. There's going to be four teams we're going to come up against that are absolutely desperate, clinging for points and clinging for their lives. A trip to Dingwall always a difficult task. We've won one there in the League Cup this season, 3-2, and then lost in the league, 3-2. You wouldn't expect anything other than a real battle, and I think it'll be important for Stephen Robinson in the next couple of days to get the guys back focused on league action and let them know that the cup final is still over a month away. We've got points to play for between now and the end of the season, and until we are mathematically safe, the vital points.
Yeah, that's it. It would be easy to maybe, particularly, you know, the buzz of Saturday, it would be easy to kind of have one eye on that cup final, even although it is, you know, a month away. But you know, as you said earlier, Robinson seems focused on the fact that we need to get the points on the board as quickly as possible. You know, that's one thing that Robinson has said repeatedly, just about every press conference I can remember, he has mentioned at some point about the fact that his remit is to keep us in the league. So he will be determined to, you know, obviously make sure that that's mathematically achieved as quickly as possible now that we're into the last five games of the season. And you're right, it'll be a really, really difficult task, as all five, you know, when you're playing against teams that are battling for their lives, you know, it's not going to be easy. It'd be easy to kind of think that because, well, we're the bottom six, so we're playing against lesser teams and it might be a wee bit easier. But it's not going to be that at all. You know, these are guys who want to stay in the division. clubs, some of the clubs, particularly a team like Ross County, because, you know, they don't have the fan base, they don't have the finances. When Roy McGregor, I know Roy McGregor's talking about possibly chucking it soon, I think when he does and they don't have that, you know, blank cheque, if you like, then a team like Ross County being relegated, it could be really, really difficult for them to, you know, regain that top level status. You know, Ross County strike me as the kind of team that if they were to go down, you know, that could spark, you know, a tumble down the divisions, to be honest. So they'll be more than determined to try and stay in the division. And it's a home game for them. So they'll be, as you said, you know, they've already beaten us this season up there. So they'll be confident. They'll be looking to perhaps turn it into a battle and grind out a result. So it'll certainly be a difficult game. But if we play with the same intensity and the same performance levels as we did on Saturday, then it's a game that we should be looking to win. And as we've already said, it's a game that if we can win, then we can at least tick that box, you know, about staying up. Because the sooner we achieve that, I don't think anybody realistically thinks that we've got a chance of relegation. But until it's mathematically impossible, then it has to be our number one target, and we need to just forget about the Scottish Cup final for now.
Andy, last week with Keith Lasley, we talked about good selection headaches and the performance of Liam Grimshaw in particular will have given the manager yet another one. Carroll McHugh missing out through suspension yesterday. Even as the captain, there must be some doubts over him regaining his place given how good Grimshaw was yesterday.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. To see what he does there under normal circumstances, as you say, you would expect the captain would assume his position back in the team again, but the combination was certainly worth a second look. Particularly, you know, as we've mentioned, there may be an element of assessment as to whether he's justified in getting a new deal the next season. So, you know, it may be an opportunity in that respect that Robinson will look at him. Again, perhaps Rose, do you look at combinations whilst obviously we want to pull out as strong a team as possible, we want to get the desired points to assure our status and what's going to happen next season. That will also, I'm sure, be the opportunity there for, you know, a wee bit of experimentation, wee bit of rotation in there to ensure freshness and avoiding any niggles and stuff like that. But you would hope that, you know, when you put your faith in a midfield trio like that to do a job in such an important game as a semi-final, that when they do that job to as good a level as they did, could they arguably have done it any better, that they're rewarded by at least having the same opportunity in the next game to continue what they did. It's a dilemma for them. There's also the kind of slight niggle in terms of the cup final in these remaining games at the back of my mind is that Shifty's now ineligible through his loan for the final, and with George Newell's facing however many pieces, that our striking options for that game are suddenly vastly reduced. So it's whilst we want to play as strong a team as possible, I do think there has to be an element of consideration taken that realistically we can't afford injuries, suspensions or anything like that to happen to Mira or Bowman. So there are certainly going to be a few selection dilemmas over the course of the next few games, but specifically in terms of the kind of midfield combination, I think you know, to me, it would only seem reasonable that you start with the team or as close to it as won the game on Saturday there, and you know, Carroll's going to have to fight his way back in.
Just on George Newell, Jay, before we finish, I can't help but think that Arneson's challenge on George Newell yesterday, if it had been the other way around and it had been a Motherwell player doing that to an Aberdeen player, that would have been very much highlighted and talked about for a couple of weeks. It was an absolute shocker, and he's obviously come off very badly from that. For George Newell personally, he's had a real spell of bad luck with injuries, and it looks like yet again he's going to face some time on the sidelines. A player that hasn't really been able to keep himself fit, or more through bad luck than being unprofessional. It's very unfortunate for the young guy, particularly coming on in a national semi-final and being on the receiving end of what was a very harsh challenge from Anderson, who clearly was feeling rather frustrated about coming off second best to Curtis Main in numerous occasions over the course of the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think I'm not sure if it'd been the other way about yesterday, I'm not sure how much it would be highlighted, because it's just, you know, Mullow and Aberdeen. If we'd been playing Celtic or Rangers yesterday and somebody like Ryan Bowman had a challenge like that, then it would have been everywhere. It would have been absolutely everywhere. Brendan Rodgers would have had his say on it. It would have been all over the Daily Record and the Sun about how it was another example of just how dirty a side we were. So I think you're absolutely spot on. Because it's only happened to wee Motherwell, nobody really, really cares about it. In terms of George Newell, I think it's quite clear that Stephen Robinson obviously rates him to some degree. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of part he'll play perhaps next season. I think he's one of the players that's out of contract, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him extend his stay, because it does look as though Robinson rates him a lot, for the future as a young player. So it'll be disappointing for him. You know, I'm sure he would have preferred to celebrate with his teammates at the end of the game with, you know, a fully formed face. But it's just one of those things. But yeah, I tend to agree. I think we said as much in the pub after the game as well, that, you know, if that had been a Motherwell player on in particular a Celtic or Rangers player, then it would have been, you know, all over the newspapers of how shocking a challenge it was. But because it was, you know, on ourselves, you know, on a young player playing for Motherwell that nobody really knows about, it's swept under the carpet and you don't even hear it mentioned. In fact, it'll be interesting to see if it's featured at all in sports scene tonight and whether they'll ever, you know, even bother to mention it.
It's quite interesting, though. It was Aberdeen that really that really started, that the tag really developed, the League Cup game. You remember Ryan Christie was whinging to everybody that would listen about how Motherwell bullied them off the park at the League Cup. And that seems to have been picked up from there, that we were getting results beforehand, you know, the opening 5-6 weeks of the season. I don't particularly recollect, I might be wrong, but I don't particularly recollect too many people commenting one way or the other. But it was only after that kind of game that was shown live, and, you know, we went to town against them that evening as well. And we saw the way Aberdeen lined up for the league game, what, 3 or 4 days after that. It was about 5 or 6 foot-plus guys that were there. Every challenge that I remember, Considine, for example, making was a flying elbow involved in it. So that set the tone, you know, the whinges from Aberdeen players. So, you know, in a sense, it's, you know, a few bit rich when you kind of think back to how they kind of whined about the way we played that evening. And here we are, like a few months down the line, and we've ended up with a player that has to be taken to hospital following a semi-final thanks to a challenge with one of their players.
Yeah, also, just actually looking through the team lines, it was quite incredible that Ryan Christie was playing, because I didn't even notice him at any point yesterday. So he was obviously very scared and intimidated by our big hammer throwers, because so much so that he didn't even kick the ball over the course of the 90 minutes. He was absolutely shocking yesterday, as were Aberdeen as a whole. But the bigger picture is, it's all about ourselves and all about how good our performance was. A magnificent day. And now we all hope for another great day come the 19th of May. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for tonight. Thank you for sharing what's left of both your voices with us over the last hour.
Cheers.
No bother.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
25 days from now, one of these teams will be walking this walk again. Will it be Motherwell or will it be Aberdeen? Whatever it takes, we'll have an answer at some point today.
No wonder Carl McHugh and his teammates are ecstatic. They're looking at a cup final. Deal with it, Anderson. He doesn't. And Maine takes advantage.
They made it to the League Cup final, and now they've made it to the Scottish Cup final.